If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2Gbar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Sooner the better would be nice, but I think that someone's got to take it. You know, I think looking at the playing field right now, you can see the positives from both of those guys. In the meantime, other guys are stepping up, like Mike Bourget and Finnegan. So, we're going to just keep competing. I think it's done some really good things for Jake. It's done some really good things for Gary as well.
Kalani Sitake on the BYU quarterback situation now that spring football is over, and we look ahead to the offseason and into fall camp. It's going to be a minute. But there's a lot to digest and a lot to talk about, a lot to speculate about, a lot of fun surrounding that. We always love that part of the season. For an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, visit Doug Smith Dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how like Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Getting better, Jeremy. I practice in the mirror for like 2 hours.
I've got two more weeks, man.
2 more weeks. I'm not going to have a voice by the time Alex gets back here, so that's all right. Jeremiah Jensen, Sam Farnsworth, Sam sitting in for Alex Keery, who's on sabbatical. We're not allowed to say exactly what he's doing, but we'll leave it at that. Yeah, Sam, it's exciting. BYU football, so many question marks, and I think BYU is a wild card in the Big 12 next season. Things could go really, really good and they could exceed expectations, kind of like the basketball team. Or if things don't go well at the quarterback position and they have a couple more injuries, things could go south. I don't know. And I think they're one of the most intriguing teams moving forward next season. And, of course, nobody covers the Cougars like our own Mitch Harper, KSLSports.com, Cougar Insider. BYU's the cut. Mitch Harper's next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
He never sleeps. He's Mitch Harper, KSLSports.com. Mitch, where are you right now?
I'm outside right now. Just picking up my kids from basketball practice right now. So I'm outside. And but they'll be, we sleep in May. You know, that's as the cliche goes. We'll get a little bit of sleep in May.
Well, you're like all of us. We all have kids. None of us really sleep that much anyway. So sleep's overrated. Yeah,
impossible.
Right? Team no sleep, all of us here. So so much to dig into, Mitch. I'm going to encourage BYU fans. As I always say, nobody covers BYU better than Mitch Harper. You can find all his great coverage on KSLSports.com. He does it with the written word. He does it over the air. He's even done TV with us, man. You do all of it. All the video you do as well. Nobody does it like you. You've got a 2-deep depth chart out.
Even 3 at some spots.
Oh, wow. This is fun. As you're putting that together, Mitch, what are some of the things that stood out to you while you were doing that work?
Well, I think one of the big things that stands out to me is, you know, I think the offensive backfield, I think there's some real opportunity for BYU to, you know, I think go into the transfer portal. Does Aaron Roddick want to do that? I think that's the big question, because at quarterback, you know, he said, when I asked him if he's going to add another quarterback, he said no. The quarterbacks that are in the building right now, those are going to be the guys that lead BYU offensively this year. And I think a slight edge goes to Jake Retzlaff. But I got to say, Gary Bohannon in the final week of spring ball, I thought looked pretty good. I thought the best that he's looked to this point of spring. I think it's, you know, been low bar as far as expectations go for him. So that's where I'm kind of feeling like it looked pretty good. Still not Zach Wilson or Jaron Hall of this offense, but I thought he looked pretty solid. And I think he's going to have a real opportunity to try to beat out Jake Retzlaff for that job.
So Mitch, if they do go to the transfer portal, where do you think they target? Like which spot on the offense there?
Well, on the offense, definitely offensive line, and particularly in the interior of the line, offensive guard is where they need desperately some additions, because if you look at my two deep or three deep, I've got Sonny Moccasini as the starting right guard. Waylon Lapuaho is going to be, you know, plug and play left guard. He's going to be outstanding for BYU. He brings the nastiness to that offensive line. He's got all Big 12 potential for BYU, but the right guard position is a little bit thin. And Moccasini is a former Utah State signee out of Tempe High School, but they need to upgrade there. And I think they need some depth in the portal. And I think that, you know, I think they'd be well served to get another running back too, because, you know, you've got LJ Martin, you've got Hinkley Rapati, you've got Miles Davis, but Davis and Rapati were two guys that the coaching staff has basically said these are role players at best in this program right now. And so now they're going to be elevated into bigger roles, and we'll see how they perform. But, you know, I think that BYU would be well served to get another running back, because they're one rolled ankle away from having to dig into that depth, which in previous years they said, you know, these are role players. Like Miles Davis had some big plays against Cincinnati, but then it never materialized into anything more beyond that game. So, you know, they look pretty good in spring ball, Miles Davis and Rapati did, but still, I think that position's a lot more thin than you would think on the surface. And BYU's had a track record of really good running backs playing in the NFL. You think about Jamal Williams, Tyson Williams, Chris Brooks, Aiden Robbins, and then, of course, Tyler Allgeier. Those are guys making paychecks in the NFL. BYU's had a pipeline of getting good running backs. They should go into the portal and get one more.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, maybe Miles Davis breaks out this year, but he was in the portal because until Aiden Robbins declared for the draft. So, you know, they probably need one more guy there to add depth in case someone goes down and to kind of push as far as the competition goes. LJ Martin's great, but again, sophomore coming back, who knows? I think they do need to beef that up. Everyone's thinking about the quarterback position, Mitch. I mean, it's all about the quarterback. Who's going to be the guy? I had a good conversation with Sly yesterday. We were talking about how important the quarterback is. I feel like BYU, you got to have a quarterback in this conference, and it's so important, not just on the field, but with marketing, with hyping up the team and the fans and with the media and the national media. You got to have a quarterback. You got to have a guy. You got to have a face of the team. They've got to figure out who that is. And, you know, you say that Retzlaff has an edge right now, but I feel like, Mitch, you tell me if I'm wrong, but the edge is the fact that Gary Bohannon doesn't know the offense as well as Jake does.
Yep.
If he does close that gap with knowledge of the offense in the fall, I think they want Gary to win this job. Do you agree with that?
100%. And I think that, you know, Bohannon, you know, he was still, as he acknowledged to me, you know, that shoulder was still a little bit sore on some days. And, you know, he started to learn that offense a little bit more. And I think the fact that Retzlaff didn't emphatically shut the door, he left it open. Yes, I think Bohannon's got a great opportunity to go win that thing. And do they want – I think they do want to see Retzlaff, what he can become. I do think that Aaron Roderick believes he can be a starting quarterback at college, in college football for BYU. That's why they signed him out of the JC ranks. But, yeah, Bohannon's got a real opportunity to go win that thing. And I think that that's a, you know, surprising development, because I think that Retzlaff would have had the clear inside track, but it'll be an opportunity for Bohannon to go win it as well.
And you've also talked about, and I know the reason why I'm going three deep on the quarterback position is because at BYU, look at it, the last handful of years, they've gone at least that deep at that spot, it seems, right? For whatever reason, injury or failure to perform or whatever. But you've been talking a little bit about Trayson Bourgain, this kid that came over from Western Michigan. You know, why do you think he chose BYU? Was it because he knew that there was an open competition here? And what do you think BYU likes about his potential moving forward?
He had a really strong relationship with Aaron Roderick. The high school ranks, he was coming out of Arizona. His older brother played at Arizona State, and you know, he really just struck a nice relationship there. And BYU was considering him as a scholarship quarterback out of high school, but that never materialized, and they offered a PWO status. He went to the scholarship route to Western Michigan and realized he didn't really like Kalamazoo, Michigan, as an Arizona kid. So he wanted to move closer to West, takes on the PWO opportunity at BYU, and he just wanted an opportunity, kind of like Gary Bohannon, just wanted an opportunity. And, you know, he's someone that I think you're right, that it's important to have three guys. And I think, honestly, that week one game is so interesting to me for BYU's quarterbacks, because, you know, Southern Illinois, you better hit the ground running. You can't have a 14-0 performance like you did against Sam Houston last year and say, oh, it's okay, the court, you just can get better in week two. You have a 14-point performance against an FCS team, you got to go to the next quarterback. I think it's critical for one of these guys to step in and just be excellent from the get-go, because if they're not, it's going to raise some real doubt. So whoever ends up being that QB has got to shine early on.
We're focusing a lot on the quarterback, but there's a lot of other things going on with BYU. What do you think was the most important thing that you learned about BYU in the spring?
BYU is going to be nastier on the defensive side, and we didn't even see the full collection of personnel on the defensive line for BYU, but they're going to be a lot better. And I think that there's enough signs in the personnel and the depth that there's reason to believe BYU will be able to generate sacks this year. And I think that's a positive direction. Maybe it's just simply a belief in Jay Hill. I think Jay Hill is going to be, you know, I don't doubt Jay Hill. He's in his second year with the program. And I think that, you know, BYU's defense is going to get better under his watch. So I think that's one of the big, you know, things that I learned coming out of spring, was that this defense is going to be better.
Mitch, in your articles, in your projected depth charts, you talked about only including guys that participated this spring, but you did point out a couple of names of guys that will be joining the program over the summer, like Falateo Satuala, obviously the huge recruit from Bountiful, four-star guy. You got Cody Hagan on offense coming back from his mission. Are these two names I'm asking you about them because you mentioned them. Are these two names that you think will be playing a role this fall already?
No question. I mean, Cody Hagan, you guys know his time at Corner Canyon, he was outstanding. The speed that he has at the wide receiver position, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. Same with Tane Nakua from Temple. Those two guys will be very good players. And Falatau Satuala on the defensive side, that's a special talent. And, you know, he's a four-star guy that had been down to BYU and Utah. And I think that he's going to have every opportunity to step in and compete in that safety position right away. And, you know, another name to keep an eye on that's going to be joining in the summer is Sonny Tuwala. He was a defensive end from the JC ranks. I've talked a lot about him, but I think he's going to be an instant impact player for BYU along the defensive front. And I like some of the personnel that they're bringing in the summer that's going to help build the depth of this team going forward.
You know, Mitch, another name, a young player, freshman I heard mentioned during spring from coaches, Z from Asiata, another guy that could see some time on the field for the Cougars this fall. Turning some attention to basketball now. BYU coming off a great season we didn't expect. Didn't end the way anybody wanted it to. Earlier than expected, but I think any BYU fan will take it. If they knew before the season that's how it was going to go, they were going to take that for year one in the Big 12. Let's start with Mark Pope. It's another offseason, another round of Mark Pope being mentioned in other jobs. I don't think he's a serious candidate. I have no reason to believe that. It sounds like Eric Musselman of Arkansas is USC's top target, but Mark Pope is connected to that USC job as being a candidate. What are you hearing on that? What are your thoughts on that? And what do you take from this latest Mark Pope being mentioned in an open job situation?
Yeah, he's definitely a candidate as far as he's got a connection to Jen Cohen from their time at, you know, he was former Washington Husky and he's former Washington AD and she's now at USC. And, you know, he's in the mix. And, you know, he's someone that if Eric Musselman for some reason didn't end up getting that job, you know, that's when it could get interesting, because then you're looking at Jamie Dixon from TCU, Mark Pope from BYU. I mean, there's some interesting options for that job, and I think USC is the type of place that big market. You got a lot more resources. You're in the Big Ten, which I don't think it's an on-court better product, but they're going to have a lot more resources. And even though the Big 12 is an outstanding basketball league, they're just going to make less money than the Big Ten and the SEC. And these coaches want the most resources, but – you know, I think Mark Pope still, as you noted, JJ, probably not the favorite at all for that job. But I think that, you know, he's someone that definitely is in the mix. And, you know, USC is going to be, you know, would be wise to look further into Mark Pope. And I think BYU, again, needs to extend him into the 2030s.
Mm. Yeah. What would it take for Mark Pope to leave BYU? Is it a money thing? Is it a resources? You mentioned resources. Would it be that? What would it be that would lure him away from BYU?
Expected to be like around NIL. You know, NIL is so big and he understands that. And Mark Pope is better than most in, you know, managing personalities. I think he's done a really good job of really managing egos at BYU in the NIL era and still getting the most out of rosters. And you know, managing the, you know, the rosters and the money that these players are starting to make. I think he's done a really good job on that front. So I think having NIL resources and boosters that are committed to basketball is huge. And, you know, I think BYU's got a better basketball brand than USC, but at the same time, I think that, you know, are you committed again to the highest stages? And that's got to be the question for BYU moving forward to level up in the Big 12.
Portal season is underway in college hoops, and BYU's already been affected. Marcus Adams Jr. decided to transfer again. At least he's in the transfer portal right now. What changes do you anticipate could happen, and what do you know about that, and maybe other guys that could leave? Obviously, we've seen what happened to Utah State with a lot of guys there and all that, but BYU, what do they have to do to keep their roster together?
I think one of the big things is to continue to have, you know, maybe commitments from NIL as far as roster retention goes, and there's more resources at BYU than I think people give them credit for. But I think that that's going to be a key piece for BYU going forward to maintain this roster. And I think these guys on this team want to play for Mark Pope. So they're committed to him. And, you know, I think that's what makes it so interesting. If Mark Pope was, you know, considered for other jobs, if he ever did leave, you know, what would then happen? Because they want to play for Mark Pope. And I think this program, they want to, you know, continue to build it up. And I think that, you know, this is a pretty good team that's already got a nucleus that was good enough to be fifth place in the Big 12, and now they want to aspire higher and see to take it up to a higher level. And but, you know, right now they've got Marcus Adams, Tanner Hayhurst in the portal. He was a walk-on. You know, he's got one scholarship available for next season, and you know, there could be more attrition, but I do believe that this is roster retention is going to be the big piece to what BYU wants to do, and it's just going to probably take some, you know, NIL commitments to, you know, retain these guys and do forward with that.
I thought I lost you there for a sec, Mitch. Sorry. With just talking about the portal here, you know, you see those names floating out there. Is there a certain player or position that you think BYU needs to target out of the portal to add to their roster for next year? Or is it just about maybe the recruiting pieces? Or what does BYU need to add to maintain what they were able to build here in year one of the Big 12?
It's easier said than done, but you always need like an athletic wing that can make plays off the dribble. BYU needs more of that. Right now, this current roster doesn't have much of that outside of Jackson Robinson, and Robinson's a guy that, you know, can definitely be gone next season. So I think that's where, you know, BYU really needs to make inroads and improvements on this roster. I think, you know, they can always add more size too. I think that's always a nice luxury that you'd like to have. But, you know, if you get Ali Khalifa back, you get Foose back. That's a pretty nice grouping, and then a Tiki Aliotiki as well. So I think that, you know, those would be the two areas to me that would be areas of focus for BYU.
Well, that's the latest on BYU football and men's basketball. Nobody covers them better than Mitch Harper. Go to kslsports.com right now. Check out the Two Deep, Cougar fans. Mitch has got it all covered there. The Two Deep depth chart is out. You can see where things currently stand. And again, like Mitch, you say, like, the portal's open again here pretty soon.
Time to go shopping.
And BYU ended spring early, so they might be at work on something. Who knows? So there's a lot to be looking forward and watching. Thanks, Mitch. We appreciate it. And good luck with all the taxing of kids today. I feel your pain. I'll probably have to do that once I get done here. So.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. And, yeah, the post-spring window, it should be interesting with the portal and see what activity we'll have it all laid, all the coverage on kslsports.com, like you said.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. That's the great Mitch Harper.
Yeah.
Great info as always.
Always.
Quarterback position is so fascinating. And, you know, Sam, they've got to have a guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to belabor the point, but we saw what happened last year when there was, you know, things didn't go the way you wanted it to. And then, you know, Keaton gets hurt and then you're really in trouble. And, You're throwing a JUCO guy out there that's trying to figure things out, and there were moments, but then there's a lot of mistakes. In fact, there was mistakes that really cost you an Oklahoma game that shouldn't have been made, and you got to have guys at that position that can really stand out. And the Big 12 is going to be better next year, top to bottom. I know Texas and Oklahoma are leaving, so maybe it's not as tough at the top, and it's wide open because of that. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be it's going to be an easier path. Arizona's coming in. Colorado, you know what Coach Prime's doing there. And Utah's a juggernaut. Arizona State's got a lot of work to do. That's going to take some time. But the three teams coming in are going to make the league better. And all three of the teams coming in, what do they have?
They have a great quarterback.
They have a star quarterback.
Yes.
Not just a quarterback. They have stars, proven star quarterbacks. BYU's got to have a guy that can become that or at least be good enough, and then they can make it up in other ways with other players or whatever. But you got to have a quarterback to win in the Big 12, and if BYU's going to take the next step, they've got to have better play at that position.
And I agree with you and Mitch when it comes to Gary Bohannon, and I think they really want him to get up to speed with what they're doing, you know, just the terminology of the offense, the playbook, everything, so that he can be that guy. Because, I mean, look at the stats if you want, whatever, but he's a Big 12 champion, right? I mean, he led a team to a conference.
He's proven.
Right. And so,
when healthy.
And it feels like BYU's got a lot of weapons. You just go through that roster, that Mitch's depth chart there with Chase Roberts. And, I mean, that's the first name that comes to my mind.
I love their receivers.
Darius Lassiter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, they got really good receivers. I think they've added some guys at tight end. We're hearing all this buzz about Reiner Swanson. I know you don't want to lean on a true freshman too much, but he's hearing a lot of good things.
He's made some phenomenal catches from what it sounds like in the open windows that they get to watch. And what I do like is that BYU is continuing the competition. Whether they might already be leaning one way or the other, I don't know. But I feel like that's going to be the best situation for the quarterbacks, is that they're competing all the way till that last week before the season. And then, of course, they're not going to let us know until kickoff of game one. But I think it's a lot better situation than naming a quarterback now. There's no need to.
I sincerely believe they don't know, and I don't think they can name a quarterback right now. I don't think they know enough. I don't think 1 month is enough for Gary Bohannon to get command of the offense. I don't think that I think he had a good spring. From all I've heard, A-Rod said he didn't have one interception in practices.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. And Jake's fighting, and he's doing the best he can. But did he do anything to overwhelm and to say, I'm the guy, I've won the job? Clearly not. So let this play out into the fall, and let's figure out who the best guy is. But whoever it is out of these two guys, they better be good next year.
Yep.
Otherwise, BYU is going to be in some trouble. All right, we got to take another break. When we come back, the transfer portal in college hoops never stops, and it's hitting the Aggies hard up in Logan. We will break that down. Can they keep these guys somehow? We'll explain that next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
If you haven't tried G2G protein bars, today is the day. Find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, your local grocer, or at G2GBar.com. Incredible taste and packed with protein. They are perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Check them out today.
When TV and radio collide.
Love it. Wow.
This is what you get. You're listening to JJ and Alex. Presented by G2G Bars.
Don't touch that dial.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'll say this, it's been my whole life's journey to put myself in a position to be at a place that my family is really happy. We are going to be so happy here. This fits us. And then at a place that really cares about basketball, I wanted an athletic director that, you know, really, I hate to say it, could keep up with me, because I like to go from the time I wake up till the time I put my head down, whether that's fundraising and different things. And you can win a national championship here, guys. There's no reason you can't. We saw San Diego State in the Final Four. We've seen Florida Atlantic in the Final Four. Oh, why can't it be us?
Why not? Why can't it be Utah State? I love that.
National championship in Logan. Could you imagine? That would be amazing.
San Diego State was, I mean, UConn was a juggernaut last year, and they still are. But San Diego State was in the national championship game. The same San Diego State that Utah State plays two, almost three times a year, right? Why not?
He mentioned national championship, I think, three times in his opening remarks. Two or three times. I mean, he means business.
Jared Calhoun is serious. He is serious about that. And look, Utah State is probably one. I heard Scott Girard, the voice of the Aggies today, as I was coming in, driving in. I listened to the show, and he's talking about the Aggies. He's like, he feels like they're one player away from being Sweet 16 Elite 8 with this group. One problem. How do you keep this group in Logan?
Yeah.
Two factors here, right?
Yeah.
There's two factors in play here. Number one, the coach you played for last year that led this team to unprecedented success, a great story, winning the Mountain West outright, winning an NCAA tournament game. Danny Sprinkle is gone. Danny Sprinkle is now in Seattle. Got a big raise. Now he's the head coach at the University of Washington, where he's going to coach in the Big Ten with unbelievably huge resources.
Oh, big time.
Bottomless pit of money, apparently, up in Seattle, to go out and get whatever player he wants. You don't think he's going to come looking for players that were on his team last year?
Yes.
With that big pot of gold that he has now?
Yes.
With the Huskies?
100%. Why wouldn't he?
Keeping this Utah State roster intact together is going to be extremely difficult. And we've learned that not only today, but recently. Mason Falslev was already in the transfer portal. Now, if you can't keep a Cache Valley kid on your team
right.
because of NIL in the
right.
portal, who can you keep on it? So Mason's in there. Doesn't mean he's leaving. Don't know that yet. But he's in the portal. And then news today that Ian Martinez, key player, star wing for the Aggies. They would not have done what they did last year without Ian Martinez. Such a great addition. He is in the portal. And here's the great one. And pun intended.
Yeah.
Great Osabor is in the transfer portal. Okay. The Mountain West player of the year. Their star player. Their leader. 17 points, 9 rebounds per game. You don't win an NCAA tournament game with that great Osabor. He was the difference maker in that game with the attention that they had to give him. It allowed other players to do what they did. Great Osabor was the reason why they won the Mountain West outright championship. That's the reason why he was the Mountain West player of the year, Sam. You covered this team. You did a phenomenal job in Indianapolis. You got to know these guys. You were in the locker room. You got an inside view. How special was that team, and how difficult is it going to be now if some of these guys leave? To keep this train going.
You can't fake locker room chemistry, right? Yeah. And that's the thing is with media, you know well, anyone who's worked in the media knows that we don't get that kind of access that often. For some reason at the NCAA tournament, the NCAA allows you 30 minutes of open locker room access after the games. There's a cool down period, and in the cool down period's a bit longer when they lose, it's shorter when they win. Makes a little bit of sense there. I was in that locker room couple of times there in Indianapolis, even after practice. And you see how these guys interact with each other, how they're celebrating with each other after a win, how they're just kind of hanging out after practice with each other and really getting along. And then how after the loss, the emotion, it felt like that their hearts had been kind of ripped apart from each other almost, right? And just you can tell that locker room, whatever it was Danny Sprinkle did to make that happen so quickly – you said the word unprecedented, outstanding. Just, it's so hard to build that. And even with a coach leaving, that would stay if the players would stay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. And in the opening remarks or in the presser yesterday, when Calhoun mentioned the word national championship, he said, if the players come back, we can win a national championship. That's a tough task now, because now you're looking at your top four players usage-wise, minutes played, leaving this program because Darius Brown graduated. Falslip's in the portal, like you mentioned. Now we've got great Osborne and Ian Martinez also in the portal. Osborne and Martinez, the top two scorers on the team from last year. Falslip and Darius Brown. Actually, those are all four of the top four. You know, so you're losing a lot of production. You keep a guy like Isaac Johnson around who announced his commitment to the program.
That was good news.
Yeah. I think that's a huge stay, a huge keep for Coach Jared Calhoun. But he's going to have some big gaps to fill. And it doesn't mean these guys are gone yet. Clearly, they're not. But you mentioned some big things. Resources, money with the NIL. Can you dig this up quickly enough to tell these guys, hey, you know what it's like here. You know what it's like to play in the spectrum. You know how special that is. You know how special it is to win at Utah State. If we can give you a little extra, can you stay with us and believe in what I'm trying to win here? Because I'm going for it again. I'm going for that NCAA tournament again and at making a run again. It's going to be a tough sell, but it's not. The door's not closed yet.
Last year was lightning in a bottle for the Aggies.
Yeah.
It was a special season. It was an unexpected run. But This is five coaches in 8 years.
It's wild.
Which, I know, Aggie fan, you're right now like, this is so frustrating. Why can't we keep coaches? It's actually, this has not been a bad thing.
No.
Let me explain why it's not a bad thing. It is working. You are winning. You've got to give credit to those who have made the decisions, the hiring decisions. Craig Smith was a home run. Ryan Odom was a home run. Got the Aggies of the tournament. Wasn't here long, was only here 2 years, but he got the Aggies of the tournament with a team that probably overachieved a little bit. And then they go out and get Danny Sprinkle for 1 year. Lightning in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
The Aggies have been to the tournament five out of the last just 6 years. Well, they qualified for the one in 2020 that didn't happen. I still count that. That team deserved it. They qualified. They were Mountain West tournament champions. They were going to go to the tournament. And I think that Sam Merrill and Namish Keita and Justin Beam would have made the Sweet 16 or could have done even something more special. They were that good. But this program continues to roll no matter who the coach is. I don't think it's going to be any different with Jared Calhoun. Now, how much you roll, how good you are, how deep you go in the NCAA tournament will depend on the players. That's going to be the question. And how do you keep these players in Logan? Let me give credit to Utah State. Their collective is vastly improved than it was at this time last year. They've done a great job up there, and a lot of people deserve credit for that. And things are much better there as far as the collective goes. What Utah State can do with NIL is much better than it was last year. But is it enough to keep these guys here? Is it enough to go out and get the difference maker out there? Who can Jared Calhoun identify and nail down and then come back to the collective, come back to the lobs and say, okay, how are we going to pay for this?
Right.
I got this guy that wants to come to Logan. How do we make this happen? It's so different, Sam, than it was even 5 years ago, where you just go get guys and they come and play for you. It's not like that anymore. Every year you're going to have the same thing where guys go in the portal to see what's out there, to see what kind of money's available to them. I don't blame them. I totally advocate for that. These players are the show. They are the stars. They're the reason why we watch. They're the reason why fans fill the stands. And you have to have those stars to do what Utah State did last year. Without transfers like Great Osabor and Ian Martinez and Darius Brown, you don't sniff the tournament last year. But there's a flip side to that. You got to keep those guys, and they're going to leave if they don't get what they want. And it's totally that's the human experience. You we're all human beings. We all need to make money. We all need to eat.
How well can Jared Calhoun identify talent? I think that's a big question that we're going to find out.
He won 20 plus games multiple years at Youngstown State.
Yep. And so
I respect what he's done.
Danny Sprinkle identified it. 13 new players, only a couple of them, two or three, came from Montana, right? Montana State.
With him.
And even then, Great Osborne, the Mountain West Player of the Year, only played 19 minutes a game last year. It's not like he was the star
at
Montana State.
No, he was a sixth man.
Right?
He didn't start.
But Danny Sprinkle knew the talent that he had in him and knew that in this new situation, he could be a star player. And he was right. Are there players like that on the Youngstown State roster? I was looking at it over the weekend, just curious. His top five guys from a minutes played standpoint, they're all fifth-year guys. So they're done.
Yeah.
But is there a Great Osabor in there somewhere? Is there a guy that he brings with him that he's like, no, there's a reason why I brought this guy to Youngstown State. And look, I get it. It's Youngstown State to the Mountain West Conference, which is a great basketball conference. But doesn't mean that talent can't translate. It'll be interesting.
That's the challenge in 2024 for college basketball coaches now.
Yeah.
You got to go find the guys. You got to find a way to pay the guys. And you got to find a way to keep the guys.
I think you got to keep Javon Jackson. Try to keep Khalifa Sacco. Those are a couple names I can think of right now.
Everybody you possibly can and add to it.
Yes.
Because you don't want to see this torn down. It was such a special season. I would love to see these guys come back and run it back and see if they can pull it off. But I get it. A lot of these guys might want to go to Seattle, play in the Big Ten, play for Danny Sprinkle.
Tempting.
That's
paycheck.
And there's a lot of money. I know Aggie, the Aggie Collective is going to do everything they can. There's some great people up in Logan and backing that program. They're going to do everything they can, but I mean, they don't have the arms. They don't have the nuclear arsenal to use a bad Maybe it's a bad analogy, but they don't have the arsenal that Washington has. That's just how it is. And so we may see some of these guys head up and join Danny Sprinkle in Seattle. Either way, my point is the Utah State program is healthy. I think they found the right guy. They just got to figure out how to handle this portal stuff, NIL, and they'll be good to go. Five trips to the NCAA tournament, 6 years, a victory, a Mountain West championship. The Utah State program is healthy and fine. They've just got to figure out a way to handle this portal situation moving forward. All right, got to take a short break. When we come back, a Utah football spring update. We mentioned it a little bit yesterday, but a big loss for the Utah football program, a key defensive player out for the year next season. We'll talk about that and more. But before we depart, we have something to give away.
Ooh.
And it's something nice. I think it's something a lot of you listening would love to have. And it's happening soon. It's happening in 2 days. Be caller 12 right now at 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-57-ZONE. I haven't even told you what's on the line here. We have a pair of tickets to Tim McGraw.
What?
At Delta Center, April 5th.
I'm not going to be here.
That's
on Friday.
Friday.
Oh, it's after the show?
Sam
will be
Farnsworth
here on Friday.
Is sick on Friday. So, Nate, Sam Farnsworth is called in sick on Friday. And I'm not available. So
I'm only going because I hope to see Faith Hill. That's all.
There you go. Somebody else is going to have to anchor KSL Sports Live on Friday night. But be caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. We've got a pair of tickets to Tim McGraw, Delta Center, on Friday. Call now. All right, we'll take a short break. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And now your Ute Spring Football Update on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Let's take a trip up on the hill. Utah football spring update. Spring football continues for the Utes. Things are going pretty well with one exception. There was an injury, and it could be a significant development for the Utah defense. Linebacker Levani DeMooney has an injury, and Kai Whittingham explains how serious it is.
You know, we've had some guys that have missed chunks of practice here and there, a couple of surgeries. Nothing that we hope is going to impact the fall, with one exception. Levani DeMooney had a lower leg injury.
Lower leg injury for Levani DeMooney. Not going to play next season. So that's a big
exception.
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah.
Levani, I think, okay, you've got Lander Barton back.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Kerenae Reed.
Yes.
So you're pretty good at linebacker. So it's not like devastating, but Levani really came on last year and stepped up. Kerenae obviously got nicked up, missed a couple games last year, and then Lander had a season-ending injury, and they really had to lean on Levani mm-hmm. DeMooney. You just lose a lot of depth at that position now with him out. They're going to have to find guys to step up. That's a tough one. I hate injuries.
Yeah, they're the worst.
It's these guys work so hard, and they only have so much time and so many opportunities to play the game. It's not like other sports. I can go down to the, I'm not talking about big time basketball, but I can go down to the Vasa Fitness or whatever right now and go get in a run, right?
Yeah.
I can go my driveway and shoot hoops. You only have a small window to play football, and it's even smaller to play it at a high level. And these guys have worked so hard and have this opportunity, and now he's going to miss that opportunity. Hopefully, he's able to get the year back and get back and play for the Utes as soon as possible, but that's a devastating injury.
Team leader last year in total tackles. And you mentioned part of the reason why, right? I mean, he had to step up into that role, but he was a guy that they thought extremely highly of. That's why they went out and brought him back to Utah, back to his home roots. And what a success story it was last year.
Yep.
And there's no doubt that he would have been right in the mix for that again this fall, that he was going to be one of those leaders. And you mentioned it's a great position group. Utah's defense in general, it just feels like whoever's going to fill whatever void is left is going to emerge and do a great job. But it does leave you wondering if suddenly Coach Witt and his staff is going to be looking for another linebacker in the portal here. And you talked about the portal window opening. I mean, they've got guys. Josh Calvert, I think, is a senior this year. maybe he gets a little more opportunity, a little more run. Has to be leaned on a little bit more. But yeah, it's a void that still needs to be addressed by the time they kick off fall camp.
Let's share some good news now for the Utes, though. And that good news is Cam Rising. And apparently Cam's been at every practice this spring, which is great news.
Surreal's probably a good word. Every time that he's out here, every practice he's been out here, which has been every single one of them this spring, and, you know, we have confidence. He brings a swagger to the offense. But that's what we were missing last year, so it's great to have him back.
The swagger's back.
Yes.
The alpha dog is
yes.
back. Cam Rising, it's just, if you're a Utah fan, you're just so excited about this. Back healthy, back practicing, everything's good. In fact, Kyle Whittingham says that Cam's looking really good after the severe injury he had.
His arm's coming back. You know, when you have an injury like he had, you know, it affects your confidence and the ability to really step into a throw and rip through it. And his arm strength is getting better. He's shaking pretty much all the rust off. He was a little rusty at the beginning, but through 10 practices, he's really polished up his game.
So they took a little WD-40 to that shoulder and that knee, and the rust is gone officially. I feel like we need to hit a breaking news sounder. No. All right, why not? Go ahead. Breaking news from Utah Spring Football. Kyle Whittingham announces that the rust is off Cam Rising. Cam Rising is back to being a well-oiled machine.
Use a little brake cleaner on there. All gas, no brakes, right?
All gas, no brakes.
I'll tell you what, Cam Rising
all
is
in or in the way.
He is one of the top reasons why I'm excited to watch college football this fall here in our state. That word swagger is synonymous with Cam Rising in everything he does. The way he just commands the huddle, but then you also see him take a lick like he did against USC and just pop up with his helmet off and his hair flowing everywhere.
Yep.
And just keep leading that team. I mean, good grief, he is he's what Utah college football needs, and it's great to have him back.
It's going to be a fun season. So much to be excited about with this Big 12 season coming up and college football with the new 12-team playoff and everything going on, man, I can't wait. But we have to wait. That's okay. Until then, we'll lean on these spring updates that we got, and that's your latest Utah football spring update. It's brought to you by America First Credit Union. Get the official debit cards of the Utah Jazz, University of Utah Sports, Real Salt Lake, and many more exclusively at America First Credit Union. David Locke's next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.